Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Michael Denk, currently parochial vicar of St. Joseph Parish in Amherst. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you again. You know, all week long we've been talking about prayer, and now we come to Chapter 3 in the UCAT talking about the way of prayer. So question 499 asks, when should a person pray?
Well, the quick answer is always. You know, that we are called to pray always. St. Gregory of the Nazarene says that one should remember God more frequently than one breathes. So that's how often we should pray. Now, the difficulty is we're human, you know, and so while we're not saints yet, and maybe I'm not a saint yet, maybe you're not, we do have
to... I'm working on it.
You're working on it, good. But we do have to actually have concentrated times of prayer. Before we can pray always, we got to pray sometimes. Okay, so there's got to be some time of actual prayer. So the UCAT says, from the earliest times Christians have prayed, at least in the morning, at meals, and in the evening, someone who does not pray regularly will soon not pray at all. So that would be my question to you. Do you pray regularly? Do you pray daily? We're supposed to have daily prayer. So think about your prayer right now. Are you praying daily? And if you're not, now's a good time to start. You know, so pick a time during the day, at some point of the day that you pray. So that could be at morning when you get out of bed. It could be at a break during work. It could be before you come home to work. It could be in the evening when everything calms down. It could be at night before you go to bed. At least pick one time during the day that's your time for prayer. I know for me, I'm not a morning person, so if I try to pray in the morning, I'm back to bed. But I find myself praying most often in the middle of the day or even in the evenings, you know, when everything kind of quiets down. But we should all have some time that we pray each and every day. So think about that for yourself. Do you pray every day at a certain time? Do you have a rhythm of prayer?
You know, that's a good point, Father. I'm not a morning person either, but on my way to taping today, I visited my 98-year-old grandmother. Mm. And my grandfather was killed when my dad was 22 in a car accident. My grandfather was in a car accident. But she used to walk to St. Mary's in Akron every morning for 6 o'clock Mass. And so she taught my dad that, and then my dad taught me that. And at Sacred Heart Grade School, we went to daily Mass. And to this day, I still start every morning out with the rosary and going to Mass. So again, I can thank my father and more specifically my grandmother for setting the example for my father so that I could learn how to get into that habit.
Right, yeah.
And again, if I wasn't in the habit of getting up and going to rosary and going to Mass, mm-hmm. and starting my day praising God and praying for my loved ones, I don't know where I'd be right now. But because of that habit, my dad helped me. He always used to say, Tim, you got to have your priorities in order. And he says, that means putting God first, others second, and yourself third.
Yeah, that's great.
So the way my dad taught me to put God first is to start every day with prayer.
Yep.
And in my case, I'm blessed enough to go to rosary and go to Mass every single morning, 7 days a week.
Yeah, so think about that for yourself. Begin your day with prayer in some way. So either that's with yourself or go to daily Mass or begin by praying the rosary. And it can be any way that's good for you, but you got to do something. And you know, the rhythm of prayer often is set around meals, too. You know, so that's when I find, like as a priest, I have to pray the divine office. You know, that's something I've promised to pray for the church. But everybody, the divine office is for all the faithful. And if you can't pray the entire divine office, pray something. Pray a psalm, pray anything before meals. So that's kind of my remembrance is before breakfast to pray, right before you eat lunch to pray, before you eat dinner to pray. And before you go to bed, you know, so kind of having a rhythm to your prayer is so important.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Father. I know earlier in one of the shows I talked about me getting a new smartphone. And the thing I love best about my brand new smartphone is downloading the free app Laudate, where I can do the Liturgy of the Hours. Mm-hmm. I've got several friends that have the books, and it looked a little confusing to me. But now, Every day it's all laid out for me. There's 8 prayers starting at dawn or 3 a.m. in the morning. And while only one day this week I've been able to go through all 8, like you said, I try to at least do some of the prayers when I can fit it in. And again, get in that habit of focusing on God.
And as we said before, habit is so important that prayer becomes a habit. It's something at first is a discipline. We got to make ourselves do it. You got to make the time for it. But once you form that habit, it becomes something you love and you look forward to, because it's being with the God who loves you.
That's a good point. If I miss going to Mass or saying the rosary, I feel as if something's wrong, like my pants are on wrong or my shoes are untied or something doesn't feel right. And again, when you're in that habit, you actually look forward to it and you look forward to that time. I have a weekly holy hour. Again, we're blessed to have perpetual adoration. That's my hour.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night at midnight, that's my hour with the Lord. It's just me and Him.
Great,
And I say some prayers and I petition Him, but I'm also trying to spend some time quietly listening to what He has to say to me.
And that's a wonderful gift and a blessing. And I think I encourage everyone to do that, to have a holy hour during the week. You know, ideally we move towards a holy hour daily, but at least if you do it once a week, you have that experience of the holy hour. And yeah, my heart longs for that too, Tim, just as yours. It's a wonderful experience. You know, and as we'll move on here in terms of the different ways of praying, there is no one way. And so first of all, prayer should be an enjoyable experience for you. Prayer should not be a time of drudgery. Now, certainly there are times when it is, you know, times when it's dry for us. But in the most part, prayer should be and ought to be something that we tremendously look forward to and tremendously love spending time doing. That if you don't love your prayer, then I'd encourage you to look into a different way of praying, because it should be a good experience for you.
You know, there was a time when I didn't go to Mass every day, a period of a few years between when I was in high school and my adult life. And I heard somebody say, how much time do you spend watching TV?
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you spend on the computer? How much time do you spend golfing or playing cards or recreating? And then how much time a day do you spend with God?
Right, yeah.
So when I looked at that balance, my life wasn't in balance.
It was, yeah.
It was. So, again, that's one of the things. When I heard that, it really struck a chord with me. It's like, I got to find time to put God into my life. And that's when I started getting into that habit again as an adult, you know, going to daily Mass.
And as we heard from St. Teresa, prayer is spending time frequently with the one that we know loves us. It's being with God who loves you so much. I mean, who doesn't want that? There's no greater way to do that than in prayer.
And knowing that He loves us, and especially in the times that are difficult, I think that, for me, anyhow, it's really important for me to know that God is not only with me, but that He loves me, and He has a plan for me, especially when I'm struggling.
Right.
Whether it's me personally or maybe one of my kids, you know, if we have
kids.
And
you can share that with Him right in prayer, and He can comfort you, and He will comfort you. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about it.
Okay. The UCAT talks about various ways to pray. So what are the different ways that we can pray, Father?
So in our faith tradition, there's 3 primary ways to pray. So there is vocal prayer, meditation, and contemplative prayer. So vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and contemplative prayer. All 3 of these are essential to the Christian life. Vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and contemplative prayer. The thing that I find is most Catholics that I know, vocal prayer is what they're most comfortable with. You know, vocal prayer is, and we'll talk about this next, simply talking to God. It's using your voice and talking to God. And it's a very basic prayer. It's a very necessary prayer, but it's a very beginner's prayer. What I find is most people have never moved on that beginning stage of prayer. And it's the prayer we learned at our first communion. It's talking to God, it's saying the Our Father, it's praying the rosary, it's vocally speaking to God. So first of all, vocal prayer. In the first place, the vocal prayer is lifting the heart to God. And yet Jesus Himself taught His disciples to pray with words. So He said, when you pray, say Our Father. So use your words and talk to God. You know, it's kind of like a little kid that's frustrated and the mother sees that he's angry and, you know, he just starts throwing stuff around and he's upset and he's irritated. And the mother will say to him, use your words. You know, talk to me about what's going on. And then once he starts to articulate what's going on in his life, all of a sudden, everything is manageable. You know, so for us, vocal prayer is using our words. It's talking to God. And the UCAT says that while praying, we should not try to think pious thoughts. So it's not like we have to just think pious thoughts. We're supposed to talk to God right as we are. So if you're mad, be mad in prayer. If you're mad, you don't have to go to prayer and try to act peaceful. If you're mad, be mad. Get it out. Express what is in your heart. Offer to God. It could be a complaint, a prayer, a petition, a praise, a thanks. Whatever it is, the most important thing is that we're authentic. That you really present yourself to God as you are. You don't have to be any different than how you are or what you're going through in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is anything that uses our voice. It's any talking to God. So it could be, people often say, when I pray, I talk to God when I'm driving to work in the morning, you know, and you talk to God. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful prayer to talk to him and to get it out and relate to him. It's singing, you know, so anytime that you sing, anytime that you praise, anytime that you just go on a whole litany of gratitude, that's all vocal prayer. And that's a wonderful prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we go deeper. And the next level of prayer is meditation. So meditation is the essence. The essence of meditation is a prayerful seeking that starts with the sacred text or a sacred image and explores the will, the signs, and the presence of God. So meditating is when you pray with either a spiritual book or you pray with the scripture or with a religious artwork or an icon, and you meditate on it. And you start to ask those ultimate questions about your life, you know, and you let God work on you and dialogue with you. So the UCAT says, we cannot read sacred images and text the way we read things in the newspaper. So it's not like reading the facts or reading a story. When we meditate, we enter into it with our imagination, with our thoughts, with our desires, with our concerns, with our worries, with our emotions, all of it. We begin to allow this wonderful interaction between God's word and us and our lives.
Mm-hmm.
St. Ignatius ultimately developed a wonderful form of prayer, which is the imaginative prayer. You know, so, you know, when you take a scripture scene, and you imagine Jesus, maybe it's the calming of the storms and he's out there on the water and the waves are rocking the boat. Well, meditative prayer would be imagining yourself in that scene. So you take the passage, you read it, but then you imagine yourself in that scene with Jesus. And maybe you bring stuff out in your life that's causing all this chaos and you just let it all be there in the boat. And then he calms the storm. You know, so it's an experience of that. Well, finally, you know, the deepest prayer, the ultimate prayer, and this is what we'll experience in heaven, and what we can experience on earth, is contemplative prayer. So contemplative prayer is a loving, silent listening and being in the presence of God. It is the most simple and wonderful form of prayer, but it's also the most difficult for people because it's so hard for us to sit still and to listen.
And to quiet our minds.
To quiet our minds and our hearts and just to be with God. But when we do this, wonderful things happen in our lives.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Michael Denk as we talk about the different sources and ways to pray. Thank you for being with us, Father. And this has been your host, Tim Perry, for Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.